The Perth Football Podcast is proudly brought to you by Macron Store Perth, an industry leader in quality teamwear specialising in grassroots, semi-pro and professional team attire. Visit the Macron Sports Hub Perth Facebook page for more. Thank you to Macron for helping us keep the pod running and for their continuous involvement in community sport.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to a Perth Football Podcast Patreon exclusive. We are doing a first of a quick series that we're trying to do where we just give a little bit more tactical insight and analysis into some of the games. I am joined with one of the best coaches around, Nick Carter. Nick, how are you doing, mate? You well?
I'm good, mate. Thank you for that big me up. I might not fit out the door with my big head. How are you going?
I'm doing well, mate. But look, it's only right that I big you up because this is called Coach Carter and your coach, Nick Carter. So this is your show. Listener, this show is all about us doing a little bit of a deep dive into a specific match to talk about the approach of the game, to talk about the style of play, to talk about some of the things that you don't necessarily see during the match, but also stuff that we don't usually talk about in the flagship show, because that's a little bit more vibes and a little bit more of like the big topic and overall themes of the podcast. So with this one, we're going to go into the team lineups, talk about who's missing. We'll talk about the approach of the games, what teams are trying to do in terms of building up, in terms of pressing, in terms of shape. And we'll talk about some of the key moments of the game and then trying to address some of the coaching changes or tactics or ideas. So we'll start up with the lineups. For Olympic Kingsway, it was an unchanged side following their 2-0 win away at Fremantle City. I'll go through the team lineup real quick, and it was Adrian Sangara, Arian Williams, Callum O'Connell, Daniel Walsh, Joe Knowles, Josh Sampson, Liam Boland, Liam Murray, Mitch Oxburgh, Sasha Njegic, and Shane Cassidy. The interesting thing there is the lineup, and I noticed that they had Arian Williams playing at fullback, and they had Walsh alongside Shane Cassidy with Callum O'Connell at left back. Did any of that surprise you in terms of the back four?
Yeah, a little bit. I thought that Arian Williams would be a little bit more further advanced, but when you watch the game, you can see what they were trying to do and why that was in place. So, I mean, we'll delve into that a little bit more later on. But yeah, that was pretty much the only major surprise for me. What about yourself?
Yeah, well, I think we'll talk about that a little bit later on as well, because a person of his talent and caliber is one of those ones where you think, can you get them further upfield? Can you not necessarily fill right back with somebody else, but they do have competent players who've played there before. They've had situations where Ollie Annis has played left back. They've had situations where Jimmy Finale has played right back as well. So it isn't that they were lacking options. In the midfield, they had a midfield three of Sasha Njegic kind of playing in the 10. And then they had Oxburgh as an eight and a half. And then they would have had Sampson deepest in there as a six, right?
I like that eight and a half. Is that a new term I can use? When I'm talking? I want you not to be the six, but I want you to be an eight and a half. It's not quite a 10, but it's in between.
But maybe I would say he's like a six and a half, but then that'd be like closer to a seven, but he's not playing out wide. So
well, that's good.
And then they had the front three of Liam Murray on the left hand side, Joe Knowles on the right hand side, and Liam Boland as the nine, kind of playing in that way. Did you notice anything in that initial shape, anything that they kind of like were instructed to do, or tweaks or movements or anything like that?
Definitely. So I suppose from my my background, I'm always looking at a press and I'm always looking at how they play out. And one thing you do notice is that they didn't press.
No.
The only time that they did press is when they made a change and it turned into a penalty. So, yeah, I was quite like with the way Olympic set up. I don't think Boland's at full fitness yet either. He seemed to, I think, obviously, because he's not at full fitness, I think it'd be hard for him to press because, you know, he's a goal scorer, really. So it's, yeah, the way they set up definitely suited the team at the time, that's for sure. And especially the way Perth Red Star play as well. Yeah, it was. I think it kind of, both teams ended up cancelling each other out in a way.
Yep. Well, look, we'll go into the, before we talk a little bit more about the approach, we'll go into the lineup, and there's a key couple ones that happened for Perth Red Star. There is only one change from their previous match, and that's Andrew Palmer wasn't available. And Dennis Gallen, I think he faced a suspension, and so he came back. But then that means that the lineup for this week was Blair Govan, Daryl Nicol, Declan Hughes, Dennis Gallen, Joel Chianese, Liam Reddy, Matthew George, Nicholas Walsh, Ryan Finney, Theo Leeming, and Thomas Hoff. So the interesting thing there is the change, I think, is with them not having Palmer, who I think ends up becoming a bit of a big miss for this game, especially his form that he has in the season. Hoff, I think, would have been playing in one of the defensive positions, but then that switches around. Gallen comes back into the back four, and so now you've got a back four of Gallen and Govan at centre half. You've got Finney on one side and Walsh on the other side. Did anything in that back four kind of ring out to yourself?
It's the experience, like you say, you don't want to say someone's age because of it, but the experience there, I mean, you've got Liam Reddy, who's 43 years old, and then Gallen's 36. So, you know, between them two, how many games have they played? You know, Finney's still 29, and Finney, I thought he had a pretty good game as well.
I thought it was quality, yeah.
Yeah, just the overlapping runs and that was very, very good. But you're just missing that experience when someone goes out. If you're losing a player that's played 100 games, then, you know, it does have a big effect on you.
Yeah. I will talk about this more into the approach, but I was really curious to see the role that Nick Walsh would have. The last game that I saw was in the night series final, and he ended up turning up at number 10 sometimes. He ended up coming in as an inverted fullback and kind of playing in the six, but he didn't have that this week. And I think maybe that's because of the other person who he had on the other side. So you didn't really see him doing a lot of overlaps anywhere near as much as you saw with Finney. But then looking into the midfield, they had Thomas Hoff, they had Declan Hughes, and they had Matty George. And the cool thing about Matty George that I noticed was he's such a good carrier of the ball as well. Like, he can get into little tight pockets and spaces, but he's more than happy to break the lines with his feet and just take the team up another 20 yards.
And I think it helps having Declan Hughes there as well. I rate Declan Hughes quite highly. And when he's on the ball, it's just dictating what happens, what goes on. And that'll give someone like George the freedom to play and run with the ball just because you know you've got someone of his quality in there in the midfield. It's definitely there for him with Declan and George. I think it kind of worked out quite well for him, to be honest.
And then the front three that they had was Joel Chianese, who started on the right but kind of drifted over to the left-hand side as well. Daryl Nicol in the nine. And then Theo Leeming out wide. And I think that's the one that we need to think about there, because, look, it's no denigration on Theo Leeming. He started the week before as well. I'm not sure if he started the week before that week. But Bryce Baffert is the other starting option that they would like to have in that side, where he does give them a little bit more punch, a little bit more experience, a little bit more quality. And it's not necessarily because Theo can't get there. It's just that Bryce is kind of already there right now.
Yeah. Do you know what? Like, even going back to last season, I think they're missing Chuck Dowell. I think they haven't been able to replace him. And Daryl Nicol's role has probably changed a little bit more since Chuck's gone. And I think, like, now they're just getting used to it. Like, that was... Was that Nicol's first goal of the season? He's due
on the spot, yeah.
Yeah, like it's, and you know, for someone of his quality and caliber, you'd be expecting him to be on five or six by now, and it's coming. It's definitely coming. I think it was JC said it on the podcast last week, you know, the team who come up against him when he gets into form.
When he gets five.
when he gets five or six, they're in trouble. But I think, you know, losing Chuck to Preston Lions this year has made the team change their style a little bit, and each player's probably role has changed a little bit more. So it's kind of affecting them in that sense, and probably affecting Nicol in that way as well.
I think that other spot has kind of been a bit of a pain or a sore spot for them, right? Because at one stage they had Chock on one side, Chock Dow on one side. They had Nicol in the middle, and then they had Alistair Eden on the left. And so it's like you've got absolute quality ranging through that front three, and then you've got Higgins just behind in the 10. How do you defend that, right? How do you defend it constantly?
They had Gordon Smith at one point as well, you know.
and last year with Alice being out, there were games where they would have just Riley Warland come up there. And again, Riley's just a quality player, but it's in terms of the attacking and the style and the play, it's not the same. And I think they do a really good job going into the approach now. I think they do a really good job of trying to compensate for that, because typically, and you see this in Kingsway, they tried to get players into situations where they could thrive, right? So they wanted to get Liam Murray on the ball, one-on-one, take on your fullback, see if you can create something, give us a moment of magic, right? And yeah, that is something that Chalkdale used to do a lot of the times, mm-hmm, where he would get in those situations, get isolated. Whereas now it doesn't feel like they've got someone who's going to beat a player. Joel Chianese tried it once. Josh Sampson stood his ground, and Josh Sampson just took the ball off of him, and they started another counterattack, right?
Yeah, good well, Sampson.
Yeah, and so the cool thing that they've been able to do is the way that they approach the game created a lot of chances for Red Star. And we'll go into the stats really, really quickly. We've got stats from footystats.org, and here are some of the surprising ones for me. Is possession was 53, Red Star 47. And I know that could be a case because Kingsway scored the early goal, and so you can sit back and try to hit teams on the break. But we're used to seeing Kingsway have 60, 65% possession, right? Red Star had more shots, 14-6. They had more corners, and 5-3, and then they had an XG, expected goals, of 2 expected goals to Olympic Kingsway's 1 expected goal. I think it should be a little bit higher because obviously they had the penalty opportunity as well. But from the approach, what did you see the teams were trying to do from a build-up play, a pressing play, a defending play, or a shape perspective?
Well, I remember we spoke in the week about this before we obviously come on, and I was quite surprised with those stats, like very, very surprised. But then when, you know, I've gone back reflecting on it and on the game, you can see why. Now, Red Star, you'll have to excuse me, I keep wanting to call them ECU, and I know
it's time.
So apologies now if I say ECU. I know it's Perth Red Star, but yeah.
I just keep saying Perth, and no one knows if I mean Perth SC or Perth Glory. I just keep saying Perth.
But Red Star are a very, very patient side. So usually the way Olympic play would be Liam Murray will get on the ball, and 9 times out of 10, he'll take your player on. He probably lacks a little bit at the end of it, but what he's got going forward is he's going to create chances. But Olympic sat back a little bit, and if you watch the game, you'll see that they let them play around with the ball. So the centre-backs would have it, and then Declan Hughes will get on the ball, and they just let them have it.
And Tommy Hoff as well, yeah.
Yeah, and Hoff, yeah. And, you know, they just let them play. Even if it was in front of the striker and the central midfielder was on it, they just let them have it because they was in front of the block. You know, they couldn't get through that. So regardless if you've got the ball, you're not getting through those 10 men in front of the ball, you know.
Is that dictated because they scored so early? Or do you think that might have been something that they were even doing before they scored the goal from Boland?
I am very confident that this is how they set up. Now, you look at Red Star's way of play, and their average positions on the pitch is very centralised. So they don't go down the wing very often. Maybe it's because Chalk's not there anymore. Kianese couldn't really do it on the weekend, but they don't really go down the wings. They play very centrally.
And if you've got Palmer, Matty George, and Hughes, why would you?
Yeah, like, it's your strengths, you know. So, in a sense, they've done that. And you look at how the goal came about for Red Star. It was a bit of passage play through the middle, and then it was just a handball and a penalty. Mm. But, knowing Tuffy as well as I do, he's a great coach. I think he's set up like that to kind of probably get them on the counter. If they're squashed inside and they're centralised on your transition, as soon as that ball gets, you've got Liam Murray on one side with the pace he's got, just release him and go.
Joe Knowles.
And Knowles on the other side. Like, it's not bad, is it? Boland's probably suffering a bit with fitness at the time, but Knowles, Murray, you know, on either side, you can exploit that. And I reckon that's what they've done. In fact, I'm pretty certain that's what they did do.
The other thing that I found from, we'll talk about Red Star in a second, but the other thing that I found interesting from a Olympic Kingsway perspective, and I'm not sure if this is by design or because of what Red Star were doing, But I was really surprised to not see Josh Sampson kind of dictate play a little bit more. I felt that a lot of the play was being dictated by Cassidy in terms of starting the build-up play.
Yeah.
And then sometimes they try to get it into Oxborough or they'd go wide really early. And hello, listener. Thank you for listening to this little snippet from one of our Patreon exclusives. If you would like to listen to the rest of the episode in full, simply go onto patreon.com and search the Perth Football Podcast. Become a subscribing member. It is only for, I think, $6 a month, enough to get us a Long Mac topped up with oat milk from the city centre cafes. And you'll be able to listen to the rest of this episodes and all the other exclusive content that we put on our Patreon. Thank you so much for supporting the Perth Football Podcast. Sometimes I get a good feeling, yeah.